Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.
Welcome to Red Storm Chasers. I'm Vincent, here with Craig. On this episode, we'll look back at the K-State and Bryan victories before we look ahead to our first Big East matchups of the season against the Paul and Providence. Craig, how's it going?
Good, good. You know, life is good. Busy, getting ready for Christmas.
That's it. It's busy time.
Busy time
of the year, certainly. Well, this week, we're going to do our starting five, just two of us. Just be a nice back and forth between you and me.
This More week, options.
I say exactly. Less nonsense. our starting five for today is going to be your starting five St. John's jerseys all time.
Okay.
So, Craig, obviously, you can go first. I'll give you the honor. You go
first. Oh, wow. Out of everyone, I can go first? That's great.
That's it. Of all the options.
I'm going to go with, I think my favorite, I guess this probably has to do with when I was young, was the Marcus Hatton era style jersey with the long sleeves and the baggy pants and the white ones with the St. Dot Johns across the chest, the Jordan brand ones.
Yep.
That's probably one of my favorites.
I have that one on my list as well, the one with the navy blue numbers with the red lettering.
Correct.
That's a classic.
Classic.
On my list as well.
Classic. I'm very partial to red. I kind of do my player case, and use a way to like figure it out. But the DJ Kennedy style one, so it's like the STJ kind of interlocked logo that's like on the baseball hats, if that makes sense. The STJ kind of one. John's across the front, the red, like the Nike ones, those were cool. That's my number two. That same one, but in black. I love those black jerseys. That same era with that. Gotta go to the classic red with the script that we have now. I like the red more so than the white. I like the white, but something about Red Storm red.
I tend to think our red uniforms look nicer than our white uniforms. I mean, our white uniforms are nice, but I think our red uniforms, because we are St. John's, so I think just the red fits better, you know?
No, it's true. And it's just funny because we end up seeing us in white a lot more, because it's mostly...
Well, we're playing at home games, but yeah.
And then my last one's going to be actually the throwback from last year, which was the Felipe Lopez style one with the yellow stripes on the thing and the horse, the horse logo on the leg. So those are my five.
Those are all good selections. Like I said, the white jerseys... the Marcus Hatton era also on my list. I also put the red one from that one was on my list. Mm-hmm. That one was red, had the navy blue. I had a red number, but navy blue writing across the front. It's, you know, the ST.Johns. I loved both of those, probably just because it was the jerseys they wore as we were growing up. But both, right. I've had both of those in my list.
Our age very personal.
That's my starting five. My next one, I should say, was the one we wore 2 years ago or last year. It was a navy blue jersey, had the St. John's symbol, as you talked about, with the STJ, you know, the Johns
together.
It was navy blue, had red numbers, red letters, and it had like red stripes on the side.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I very, very nice jersey. I like those a lot. Those were good.
First navy blue one to make the list of either of us.
Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, no, I like those ones a lot. Those were cool. The other one also a little different. Last year we had one that was just the STJ logo. Didn't say St. John's, just had the STJ logo on it. I remember that. I thought it was a little different. You know, every other jersey says St. John's or something. You know, I thought it was cool to be a little different.
We're clearly very partial to that STJ interlocking logo.
We do enjoy that. It did look a little jersey, but I still enjoyed it. But yeah, no, I'm with you. I think
it's a great logo.
It's a great logo. They did a great job with that design. And my last one is the 2013, the red ones with the skyline. They had the skyline on the shorts and the skyline on the shirt. That one also had that was the year we kind of went to the script, I think, for the first time again.
Okay.
But this wasn't the script jersey. These were the other jerseys too, where it had that block of STJ John, but it had the skyline on the jersey and the shorts. I like those ones a lot. The red one in particular, you could see the skyline better. Mm. I felt like that was it. So those are my five. So,
very cool.
Good. So we've had some good jerseys.
We have a nice new one coming out on Tuesday.
We do. We have the blackout jerseys. It'll be a blackout game against DePaul. It's honoring the first responders of New York. And it's a beautiful jersey. If you haven't seen it, The school posted about it. It's a black jersey, red numbers. Looks like it has a little bit of like that reflective silver outline on the numbers.
Well, looks like the city, some skyline. There's some skyline elements.
Absolutely. Too, yeah. Really cool though. Should be really cool to see them. So yeah, let us know. Let us know your favorite jerseys on X. Send us a response.
Or if we missed any.
Or yeah, if we missed any. If there's any you think are better than our selections, let us know. We've had some great jerseys over the years. Certainly have. We could also say, by the way, just an honorable mention of the least or the worst jerseys, I would say, was those random royal blue ones we had. It's just random. I mean, no connection. There's no reason for the royal. What the hell are we doing wearing royal blue? Those were weird. I wasn't a fan.
The grays were nice, but we never really played well in them.
We always played terrible in them. So I love gray. I would have put it on the list if we'd played better in them. But anyway. Let's talk a good week of St. John's basketball.
Very good week.
Win against K-State to start a game, part of the Big 12 battle, which we ended up losing, by the way. Talk about fumbling the bag. This was a botch job by the Big East. We, at one point, had a 4-1 lead in the Big East Big 12 battle. We ended up losing 6-5, which is not great.
Not,
again, plays back to us not having such a great non-conference season as a conference.
It's true. Ultimately, we really did not have a good one at all. I mean, 6-5 against the Big 12 is respectable.
It doesn't really blow us out of the water. You know, Creighton got a win against Kansas in there, right, when they were one in the country, which is not bad. UConn beat Baylor when, I guess, they were not, you know, top 10 anymore, but they were top 15.
Right.
We've had some good out-of-conference wins.
Yeah. I think the problem is compounding, though. Like, because we had such a bad feast week, we really needed to do really well in the Big 12 Big East Challenge. Because usually that ends up being kind of a toss-up anyway, which is fine. Yeah. But because we were so bad, we really needed to make a statement.
We didn't come through like we should have. I mean, we came through because
we did our part.
against
we can only win ours, so.
But, it was not the Big 12 Big East battle result we wanted. But like we said, we came away with victory 88-71 against K-State in a game that I personally think was a must win because we needed a nice, and then we had the win against Virginia, but we needed a nice kind of other power conference win in our non-conference. And this game was that for us.
You're 100% correct, non-conference-wise. Also, emotionally, we had to win that game.
Yeah, I was going to say, the other thing is it was obviously the game where we honored Lou Carnesecca, and this was a must-win for that purpose as well, right?
Could
not lose this game. Listen, I think the school did a great job of honoring Lou. They gave out the pins with his all-time win number on it, which was nice. His seat was left empty, except it had flowers on it, I believe.
Yep.
Rick Pitino came out in a tailor-made sweater to match his sweater, which I thought was just incredible.
Great moment. It was really when he came out on the court, and he came out and he was wearing the suit jacket kind of.
So right,
You didn't necessarily see it right away, at least most of the crowd, you know. And then he opened it up and it really did get everybody going. It was really a great moment.
That was nice. They did a great job honoring him. Obviously the video, we talked about that in the last episode, but I think they did a great job. Shout out to K-State too. Coach Tang wearing an ugly sweater in Luzon. That was a nice touch by them.
It was a very, very nice touch. It was great.
I think we did a great job though as a university, and great job by the team to come through with a win. Cause like you said, losing it, that game would have been a little bit more painful because of the circumstances.
For sure.
Sorry.
Sorry.
You're good. And it was a pretty dominant win, to be completely honest. I mean, it wasn't like a runaway win. I wouldn't
dominant
say it
was second half.
Dominant second half. But I was going to say, it wasn't a runaway win. It wasn't like the game was never in doubt. But I always felt like we were going to win the game. Like, I always felt like, okay, we're in control. Like, you know, we've had some bad minutes. We've had some bad stretches. But I never felt like it was like, uh-oh, this team is outplaying us. We need to turn it around.
I was nervous in the first half. I was very nervous. By halftime, I felt okay because I think they were – I was okay because I felt K-State was playing really well and we weren't playing well. So I figured we would play better in the second half, and we historically this season have played better in the second half. But I was nervous because of also what it all meant, right? And I think we saw where the guys were like emotional and overjuiced up to try to really bring this one home, and I think overplayed a little bit in the first half, and that led to some of our problems. And I was afraid that could continue all game. Like, we've seen that movie before.
No, we have, we for need sure.
to win that we don't, right? I mean, we've seen it play out.
Yeah, but we were only down four at half.
You know, I agree. Four and a half was fine.
I think that was actually the signal to me that we were in a better place because we didn't play a great first half.
And right, we did not know.
To have us only be down four at that point, I looked at it as, okay, you know, we're good. We're gonna turn this around.
And you knew that kid Housen, who used to be from Villanova, was just on.
God, 6 of 10 from three. He shot 60% from the 3-point line. That's nuts.
I think that's for the whole game. I think he was 6 of 7 in the first half.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely.
I mean, in the first half, he was on. He couldn't miss. It. I mean, no, absolutely,
100%, and that's scary for us because we've seen so many times where so many guys just light it up against us randomly, or not randomly, but you know, in those spots, and then it's like, well, how can we make this stop? He had 27 points on the day, 9 of 17 from the field, completely. The thing about K-State in this game was that beyond their big three guys, they had Guessin who scored 15, and they had Hawkins who scored 11. Outside of that, they had six guys combined for 18 points.
Yeah.
So the thing is, they had no depth. And when that happens, yes, your three guys can score, you know, 15, 11, and 27. But when that's basically all the points you're getting, that's not going to be enough to get a win. We also ended up, our numbers ended up a lot better than what the first half was. I mean, we shot 43% from the field, 30% from three. Those numbers aren't spectacular. I mean, obviously that 3-point percentage, we'd like to get a bit higher because it was actually, you know, I rounded up, it was 29.6. That three number we'd like to get high, but you know, 43% is not terrible.
Yeah, no, look, like I said, it really was a tale of two halves. The first half was very shaky. The second half, though, and which why all the numbers came up so high, is that we really took over the game, and we really just dominated them in the second half. I mean, that there was the one run where we literally, actually, if you watch, it looked like Tang was trying to call a timeout three times. We got a basket. He wanted them to come over to the corner and call, you know, come up to the coach and call timeout so they get inbounded by him. They ran to the other side of the court because it was too loud. They took a bad shot. We got the ball back, hit a three. Scott hit a three. Then, whatever, same thing. They wanted to do the same thing again. They didn't get another timeout. They did a quick shot, turnover, back. We went. That would be like three. We hit a couple threes in a row, and the place was bananas, to be completely honest. It was as loud as I heard Garner Sackett in a very, very long time. And once we had that run, that was pretty much it. We put it away after that run. It was crazy.
The nice part about playing at Garner Sackett, I mean, it has its downfalls, right? But the nice part is when it is packed and we are good, there is no better home court advantage for us than at Garner Sackett.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is.
We could play. You know, you get the feeling of in a sold out Garner Sackett where we're, you know, ranked and we're playing Kansas that we could win, right? Like you could play the number one team in the country there, and we could win in Garner Sackett. Not necessarily, you know, in the Garden, it's obviously a bigger arena. You get a more spaced out fans, but that home court advantage in Garner Sackett, I think, was on full display in the K-State game.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I thought that was nice. We also played well defensively. I out rebounded them plus 11 in the rebound margin, held them 35% from the field. Even with Housen shooting 60% from three, they still, as a team, only shot 32% from three.
Now that plays to your point too.
Yeah, I mean that's partly home field advantage. I mean that's why we ended up coming away with this win,
right?
And I personally think it's a game we had to have, and yeah, got the job done.
Yeah, took care of business. What we needed to do, and it was important to win. And now we move on.
Absolutely. And Zuby, by the way, another great game. 28 points, 13 rebounds, 5 of 5 from the free throw line.
I can't believe we almost didn't talk about Zuby. That his performance, that was ridiculous. We didn't. Zuby was phenomenal.
Incredible. Phenomenal.
just dominant. It was great.
Zubi has really filled the shoes, I would say, of Joel Soriano. Well, I mean, like, we expected him to be very good, right? I mean, the guy went to Kansas, for God's sakes,
right?
Before he transferred to us. But you never know, right? He was playing a number two role last year to Soriano, and now it's like, well, he's the guy. How's he going to handle it? You know, and he could not have done any better in this game, and certainly has been the guy for us this year.
No, 28 points is from a big man is insane. And I think a turning point for him was, you know, he struggled a little early. I think actually the turning point for him was missing those free throws against Baylor, because I think missing those free throws and being so down, and I think the fans really picking him up and lifting him up, he's been on a tear since then.
Absolutely.
I think it kind of plays to the fact of, like, look, they're a lot, you know, like, look, they get paid NIL and stuff, but they're still kids. And if you stay with them when they go through the tough times, I think it's better. And it also plays, like, the crowd is lifting you up. That helps these guys. You know what I mean?
100%.
It matters. It does matter to them. And I think it was great showing by St. John's fans. And I think this is a model of something we should pay attention to going forward.
No, absolutely. I mean, he's our guy, and we're his guys. And, you know, when he's down, we got to pick him up. And we did that. And I think, like you said, he's been on a tear since. It's been great to see. Two other Johnnies, by the way, in double digits this game. We had RJ Lewis, 11. Kadari Richmond. I'm sorry. Three other Johnnies, by the way, in double digits in this game. Kadari with 13. Good night. Good day for him. And then RJ and Simeon Wilcher both had 11.
Nice. So, good day for
rounding out the scoring there for St. John's. The other game we played last week was against Bryant. Obviously, not as tough of an opponent, but a must win because it's a cupcake game. So
gotta win him.
And we did win 99-77, 50% from the field, 30% again from three. Again, number not so great, but plus 14 in the rebound battle in this one. And like you said, this is a game we should have won. And this is a game we won well. But it wasn't a game where we didn't run away in the first half, right?
No, we let him hang around to the second half.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This wasn't a game where we ran away with it either. I mean, we kept them, I shouldn't say we kept them in this game, but they probably kept themselves in this game.
We let them hang around, though.
We let them hang around for way, 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 way too long. We were up only four at halftime. So. Yeah. Very different feeling from this game to the K-State game where we were down four and I felt like, oh, we're actually in a good spot. Here we were down up four and I was going like, this is not good. We are not. We are not in the spot we want to be. And the kudos to them. I mean, they played a great game. 50% or 49% from the field, 35% from three. You know, they
outshot us in both categories.
Absolutely. And that guy,
not free alone. That's not true. Take that back. We shot 50%, I think.
Yeah, we shot 50%. You can say it again.
I don't know what I'm going to say.
Okay. They outshot us from the 3-point.
Yeah.
And that guy, Kayshawn Mitchell, was just killer. I mean, 21 points for him, 8 of 12 from the field, 12 rebounds. He had a great game against us.
Yeah.
We were just better than them, right? So, like,
yeah, I mean, look, ultimately,
we played a bad first half, and then we came out in the second half, and you know, we put it together again, and we went on to win by 22 points. Right. So,
I mean,
no harm, no foul.
They true. I mean, look at the final score was 22 points, right? That's where we need to be. But obviously, as obsessive St. John's fans who watched every minute of it, you know, there were some tense moments, and you know, if it wasn't for that F1. Against with Zub when Zubi got the, you know, all of a sudden it ballooned that lead, and once that lead ballooned, then it really kind of didn't look back from there. But it was, you know, a little shaky, but we ultimately got there. And look, we continue to show that we're a second half team.
Absolutely.
If the evidence is piling up that the first half might be a little shaky, wait to the second half because we are we come on strong and with some adjustments after halftime.
100%. You know, this is. In this game, we had five guys score double digits, and we had Kadari Richmond score 9. So you couldn't get much better offensively. In fact, 14 points, Davion Smith off the bench with that incredible
incredible
putback dunk off the rebound. Just amazing to see him in that spot. Probably had to feel good for him too, because he's been having a bit of a rough few weeks after fighting with Patino.
He's wild on the court. When he just does some stuff, you're just like, what? How can he even jump that high? It's unbelievable. It's really unbelievable.
That was my thought. Who the heck was it? Oh my God, it was Davion Smith. Jeez. How did he get up there? Wild dunk, though. Awesome to see for him. 14 points for him off the bench. 6 of 10 from the field. So really good day for him. Seeing him come back to being the player that he is, it would be great. Yeah, it's been a rough few weeks.
A struggle. And look, I think he's a very key, important part for us going forward, because the offense runs really well when he's on the court. So looking forward to all the things he can do.
Absolutely. One thing we have to talk about, and I mentioned, it in this game, the struggles of Kadari Richmond continue. He had 9 points in this game. It's not terrible. But you look at him, he's averaging 10 points a game this year. He was averaging 15 last year.
Yeah.
And he hasn't looked he hasn't looked comfortable.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. In games. And I don't know why that is. I mean, listen, he's still averaging, 5 assists per game. So he's contributing, and he hasn't looked comfortable. I wonder if part of that is moving over from being the guy at Seton Hall, right? He was the only, as we can see with the shambles that Seton Hall team is this year, he was the guy and he was really carrying a lot on his back, to now not having to do that as much, right? Having RJ Lewis and Zubi Ejiofor, kind of finding your footing there can be troubling. And I think that's kind of where he's at. He's not as comfortable not being the guy. So I think it'll be interesting to see what happens in Big E's play, and if he's able to really get his role down well, and really step back to being the player he was last season would be incredible. But I just wonder if that's going to happen, or if he's going to continue down this path.
No, it's a good point. I mean, look, Kadari Richmond is integral to our team. If he can hit the gear that he's hit over the last few years, I mean, it's not even like 1 year. It's not like he did this one time. He did this over the course of the last few years at Seton Hall. If he can hit that stride in Big E's play, that would be extraordinarily helpful for us going forward. He does not look comfortable. I don't disagree with you. Watch him on the court. He seems to be working through it, and hopefully he gets through it, and we get to a point where he's the dominant force that he's been. He's the first team all Big E's player that he's been. Over the last few years, that's what we expected. And I think that's what he expected. He has obviously very high expectations for himself. And I think he'll get there. And the talent's obviously there. And he's doing, like you said, he's doing all the little things to keep, he impacts the game in a lot of different ways, which is helpful, just not besides just points. But I think he's still trying to find his footing with playing on a different team with different players. And I just think hopefully he gets there.
That's all he can do. Continue to watch and hope. But I think he will. I think it's just he's having some early struggles, and hopefully, these next two games kind of in Big E's play get him back to feeling more comfortable. All right, it's time for the Spotlight Player of the Week. This could be a tough one with two people, I have to say. It could be a clear, split 50-50, but I don't think that's going to be the case this week.
I would be surprised.
I'm going to go first because I don't ever get to go first. I think this week is a clear and simple vote for Zubi Ejiofor. 28 points against K-State, followed up with a 22-point showing against Bryant. He shot 7 of 10 against Bryant and then 11 for 17 against K-State. Two absolutely phenomenal games. I think there's no doubt it's Zubi Ejiofor.
Craig,
who's your vote?
I entirely agree. It's hard to have two double-doubles, one of it being almost 30 points, and not be a spotlight player.
Absolutely.
I mean, if we did, God bless America, that means we'd have someone else that had a better performance over the last 2 weeks, which would be unbelievable. But no, it's got to be Zubi Ejiofor. No doubt about it.
Absolutely. All right. Signed, sealed, delivered. Zubi Ejiofor, Spotlight Player of the Week. Shout out to him. Well-deserved. After a phenomenal week, let's hope he keeps it up, because we've got our first two Big East matchups coming our way. Kind of interesting. We got our even more interesting. There's already been one Big East game played.
There has.
It's actually the two teams we play next. But
I want to get a head start on Big East.
That's starting Big East play the first week of December is strange. But not only that, we play two Big East games and then we play Delaware.
Right.
So
just want to slide Delaware.
And there's Christmas in the middle. So two Big East games, Christmas, Delaware. Very strange. Anyway, our
really want to get that Delaware game in there.
Let's say you got to get the Blue Hens when you can. Our first Big East matchup is on Tuesday against the DePaul Blue Demons at 6:30. That game's on Peacock and at Carneseca Arena. It is a blackout game, as we mentioned. The nice black uniforms that will be celebrating the first responders. But we'll take on a very different DePaul team than we've seen in the past. This is not that same old, you know, one win, you know, having a bad time.
DePaul team. Now your father's DePaul team, huh?
That's it, exactly. 2 weeks ago, they were receiving votes to be ranked. They come in 8-2. They haven't had the toughest schedule. They haven't really beaten...
8-2 for them doesn't matter who the hell they played.
Listen, I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying they haven't had the toughest schedule. They got a nice win against Wichita State this past weekend. Their two losses are to Texas Tech and to Providence, which was obviously their first Big East game. But like you said, Craig, I mean, 8-2 for these guys can't be too upset.
No. I mean, if you're DePaul, you think, man, did we finally get it right again, Chris Holtmann? I mean, he's a good coach. I to be honest, good for DePaul. You know, I do feel bad for them. They've been struggling for so long, but not too much. Somebody needs to get beat in the Big East, and you know, it's great. But you know, it could be somebody else. It could be UConn or Villanova. That's fine.
This year, it looks like it's gonna be Seton Hall. But yeah, right. No, good for them because they have struggled for so long. And listen,
not against us.
Holtzman seems like he's, you know, the right guy for the job. I mean, he knows the area. Obviously, you know, he's familiar with the Midwest. So maybe he's turned it around now.
We'll see.
Hopefully, I'm hoping they start 0-2 in Big East play. obviously, with against us this first one. If there's a different team at the bottom, it would be kind of nice to see the Blue Demons at least have a decent season.
For sure,
those poor people have earned it. They're led by Jacob Meyer. He averages 15 points a game. Isaiah Rivera is their only other player who averages double digits. He averages 13 points a game. It's not that they're not a good offensive team. It's just they're not a great offense. They got two guys who average 9 points, but I'll serve you up a question here, Craig.
Go for it.
Net ranking 70 for DePaul, 89 in KenPom.
Not great numbers.
Is this game a must win for us?
Yes. Well, must win's always tough, right? Because like the Bryant game's a must win because you can't have that as a loss, right? Does that make sense?
So I actually think that's a can't lose game. I think there's a difference between a must win and a can't lose.
That's a valid point.
So the Bryant game is a can't lose game, 100%, right? We paid them to play us.
We can't lose that game.
A must win game is K-State. K-State's a must win game because we needed another win against a power conference team.
Let me sort of question back up for you. Are there anything besides must win games and can't lose games?
Yes.
No, I know there are. I think DePaul, as much as they're playing better at home for us, is a must win game because we've all seen these movies before, and who knows where DePaul will end up at the end of the season.
That's true. Yes.
We're the home team, and if we're going to fight for the Big East title, which we hope to do and think we can, we need to beat DePaul at home. I don't care how good DePaul is, to be completely honest. And I think until they prove it in the Big East, we'll see how good they actually are. So I think it's a must win because you also don't want to have that loss on your record. And if they're 70th, 9th in the net, it's not a great loss. It's not like it's whatever.
Yeah.
So I think I think it's a must win in a sense.
It is true. And now listen, I do agree that in Big East play, there's no such thing as a can't lose game. Can't lose games are the preseason games.
Right? No, that's not true. I disagree with that. Georgetown at home this year will be a cannot lose game.
So here's the difference, right? And it's a fine line between must win and can't lose. And I think what happens is this. In the non-conference games, you play the really crappy teams, and those are games you can't lose. When you play games in conference against teams like DePaul and Georgetown, who might be able to get you,
I'm not saying they couldn't get us.
Right, but I think that's why I think it becomes a must win. Bryant really shouldn't beat us. That's why it's a can't lose. Whereas Georgetown last year and DePaul in the past, those are must win games because you just can't afford to lose them.
That would make it a can't lose game. That like literally you almost just said it in that sentence. Literally just said it.
But I think the caliber of the team matters who you're playing against in terms of the can't lose. Anyway, regardless.
Regardless.
I think it's a must-win for you for us because you're absolutely right. If we are going to be the team that everybody talks about us being, everyone has now paid attention to, if you've paid attention to any media out there, we are in the, it's the Marquette, UConn, and us, right? We're the top three teams in the Big East. A little disrespect to Creighton, in my opinion, but.
Well, Creighton dropped a couple of bad games, to be
honest. They dropped the they also beat Kansas.
They've been up and down, but you know.
That's fine, though. I'm happy to be in the top three.
Great.
But if we're going to be in the top three, we games against DePaul at home are no-brainers. You can't sweat these games. These are games you have to absolutely win. 100%. No question. No doubt. And, you know, you look at it and you go, they're 8-2, like you said, Craig. Don't know where they're going to finish up. Haven't played the toughest schedule. Our team is better than them. Mm-hmm. Go out there and get the win.
I agree. And also, to be honest, like, look, not that the fan perspective is entirely important, but that's kind of what we do here.
A little bit.
We've seen us lose early in the Big East schedule in games that we thought we were going to win. And what it really does is takes the air out of the balloon.
It spirals.
And it spirals. Frankly, we've seen it spiral the team. It certainly spiraled the fan support because I think a lot of the times that it goes hand in hand, especially at home games, this would be a bad one to lose. I think got to win it, got to keep on track, keep the momentum positive, keep everybody trending upwards, packed houses and tough places to play is what we want.
100%. Speaking of tough places to play and big crowds, that leads us to our next Big East game, which is also this week, against the Providence Friars. 7-5 this year. This game is on Friday at 8 p.m. on Fox, but it's in, I guess, what's formerly the Dunk. Is it still called?
Formerly the Dunk.
No longer called the Dunkin' Donuts Center.
It's not an Amica Pavilion.
I apologize to the Amica sponsors there.
it's always be the Dunk. It'll always be the Dunk.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's another place that is tough to play. We have struggled at the Dunk up in Rhode Island. Now, listen, unlike DePaul, who lost their first Big East game, they played Providence. Providence won their first Big East game in overtime, by the way. And as much as Providence is 7-5, they went 0-3 on Feast Week, which was part of the reason that we didn't have as much of a good start. They lost to Oklahoma, Davidson, and Indiana. Their only good win is BYU, helped out that Big 12 battle there, but they don't have any other great wins, to be honest. This is a team that had, at one point, was getting votes to be ranked, kind of seen as, I think, that next tier team in the Big East. Mm-hmm. So again, not sure where they're going to finish up, but they've dropped some bad games. They dropped a game against Rhode Island, who, kudos to Rhode Island, they've started off the season undefeated, just lost their first game recently, but that's not a game that Providence can be losing. If they want to be in a spot where they're competitive or making the tournament.
Agreed. And I think that is very true. Providence, like 0-3 in the battle for Atlantis, plays into the Big East struggles over that week, like you said. Part of the struggle for Providence is their best player was not playing.
Yes.
Which you do have to give a little bit of a disclaimer on that. Bryce Hopkins has only been back for three games now. And of those three games, they're 2-1. Mm-hmm. They beat DePaul, they beat BYU, but they did lose that game to Rhode Island with him. So, yeah. You know, if they're 3-0 and they beat Rhode Island, you're like, oh, okay, wow, that, you know, it's a different team with him. And it is a different team with him. He's their best player.
No, he averages 70 in the three games. He's averaging 17 points a game.
Correct. So, it's going to matter. Bryce Hopkins being there is going to matter.
100%.
But we'll see. I mean, we'll see. Tough place to play. I mean, you know, there's a tough environment to have up in Providence. And we've struggled, like you said. Out of last 10 years, we've won two games in Providence. That's not great. It's not great. I mean, it's not Seton Hall, but it's not great.
If we could somehow pay the Big East to move that game out of the Prudential Center,
I would do it.
Yeah. But the Dunk's not far behind. We haven't won there since 2021.
Right.
So this is a big test for us, even though Providence isn't the, you know, like we talked about, they're kind of a middle of the pack Big East team, not the best. This is a big test for us going on the road to a place we typically play bad at, against a team that now has their best player back, is on the rise. You know, this is a game where we're gonna see what the rest of the season is gonna be like, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a very important It's a massively important game. It's a road game. You know, it'll show us. I think it might show us. It'll start show us. Maybe not show us, but it'll start show us how high our ceiling can be. Right? If we're really going to be a top one or two team in the Big East over this season, this is a game we're going to win. Right?
Absolutely. And,
if we're going to be fighting in the middle as a bubble team, this might be a game we drop. Right? Doesn't mean we won't make tournament if we lose. Good luck losing at Providence, tough game. This will be a quad one opportunity for us, which is important. But, you know, I just think we're going to see where we're at. It's a measuring stick kind of game for us.
It's our first real road game. I mean, we haven't had a real road game. We played the games in the Bahamas. But outside of that,
right,
we haven't played a single game at an opponent's arena.
Right.
So,
big test.
Your first road game is always a little bit tough. And to do it in a place where we traditionally play not great is going to be, like you said, I think it's going to be a great measuring stick. I think you're 100% correct. If we're going to be the top three teams in the Big East, like they talk about us being, and we're going to be a team that can make a run in the tournament, we're going to win this game.
Yeah, I agree. I 100% agree. And look, you know, kudos to Providence. That's a tough place to play. You're going to have those students that are, it's going to be a Friday night game at 8 o'clock. Think about that. That place is going to be wild.
The only hope is that a lot of them went home for finals, after finals. Fingers crossed.
The good thing for Providence is that Providence, for them, that's their NBA team. The whole city.
That's all they got.
So the students show up regardless. To be honest,
that's 100% true. It's the only thing they've got up there. So, right. Providence or nothing. It'll be a big test. We'll see on Friday. Big week for the St. John's Red Storm.
Two games in 1 week. I love that for us personally.
And two Big East games. Starting to feel like real basketball.
Oh, we're here. We're here. We've arrived. It's season time.
Let's go out and get two wins.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, for Craig, I'm Vincent. Go Johnnies. Keep chasing.